Welcome to the intersection of where technology meets transformation, brought to you by VMware and Carpathia on Federal News Radio 1500 AM. In this episode, we'll be talking about making the case for the hybrid cloud. I'm your host, Jason Miller, and my guests today are Doug Bourgeois, Vice President and Chief Cloud Officer for VMware U.S. Public Sector. And we're also joined by a special guest, Stu Flagel, Vice President of Carpathia Government Solutions. So welcome, Doug. Welcome, Stu, to the discussion today.
Thank you.
All right. Well, let me start with a little context to our discussion, because I think, you know, when people hear hybrid cloud, making the case for it, what is a hybrid cloud? On this show over the past year, Doug, we've spent a lot of time talking about the journey to the cloud for agencies, the steps they should consider, the pitfalls they should avoid, and of course, the factors that they can use to measure success as they move their infrastructure and software to the cloud. In many ways, the idea of cloud is still relatively new to government. Just 3 years ago, December, was that when OMB first issued that cloud-first policy. I remember we all remember where we were that day, I'm sure.
Was it only 3 years ago?
Only 3 years ago. But let's go back in time, in our time machine, for a second, explore what that mandate called for. First, it said a potential $20 billion of current federal IT spending could be moved to the cloud. The cloud could provide highly reliable, innovative services that could be deployed quickly despite resource constraints. So let's jump forward 3 years later. I think agencies, for the most part, have not just dipped their toes in the cloud. They really have jumped in with both feet. I mean, every CIO I talk to is doing more than just, well, we're looking at the cloud. It's all about piloting some application, moving email, moving back office functions to the cloud. But now I think comes the hard part, because the low-hanging fruit is gone in many respects, right? Now they're saying, okay, what can we move to the cloud that's mission-critical applications? And then what kind of cloud do we choose? Public, private, hybrid? And I think a lot of that is now starting to really come to the forefront. Here's the rub in all of this. As private clouds become maybe more popular, are they also creating new silos of infrastructure that, instead of adding that agility, flexibility, and ease of use that OMB once dreamed of, are they only being optimized for new apps? And are they really limiting the network integration? Are they requiring separate management tools? I did a little bit of research, of course, and what I found is from Gartner Group, they say, you know, cloud is messy. We kind of know that, I think. It requires services for multiple people. Gartner says hybrid is more of the future state for organizations to take advantage of and all the capabilities, both from an external and internal source. The research organization says hybrid cloud today is more of an aspirational concept. Now, back in October, Gartner also says nearly half of all large enterprises will have hybrid cloud deployments by the end of 2017. So obviously, good news for those people like yourself, Doug and Stu, who are into the hybrid cloud and believe that that is the future. So how can agencies move from aspiration to reality? What are the most important considerations when deciding if a hybrid cloud makes the most sense? And what should vendors and agencies do to work together to determine what is the best approach, public, private, or hybrid? Those are some of the questions we're going to try to answer today as we jump into this consideration of hybrid clouds. So with that context in place, let me turn to Doug Bourgeois. He's the Vice President and Chief Cloud Officer for VMware U.S. Public Sector, and Stu Flagel, who oversees the sales and business development for Carpathia. Carpathia received more than 50 government agency-sponsored approvals to operate for civilian defense and intel agencies, including the Army, the Navy, the Marine Corps, the Small Business Administration, and the Departments of Commerce, Labor, and Treasury. I'm assuming here, Stu, cloud services.
Now, that's
right. We're going to get into FedRAMP in a little bit, but at least the people...
Yeah, virtualized environments and private cloud environments. You're correct.
All right, excellent. So let's start with the basics. I'm going to turn to Stu right away since you're the newbie. Tell us about what is a hybrid cloud. Give us that definition.
You mentioned the journey to the cloud, and I think that's a really good description. And what we're seeing is that customers that we service and support really went and put their toe in the water, if you will, in the virtualized environment, and also with us helping them design, build, and operate their private environments. So it's very, very natural now, given 3 years later, that our customers are looking to leverage that investment that they've made in their on-premise environments. They're looking to leverage the investments that they're putting into commercial data centers, where they've trusted commercial data centers to run their private cloud environments. And now they're really taking the next step, and the next step being that they're looking at the hybrid approach, where a private dedicated environment connected to a multi-tenant community cloud for federal makes a lot of sense. So we have customers, and a couple of examples are, I can't really name the agencies, but on the commercial side of the business, we host companies like Spotify, and we host iHeartRadio. And those companies are very interested in having a dedicated environment where they know exactly month in and month out what their environment's going to look like and what they can use inside that infrastructure. And then they want to be able to direct connect to a multi-tenant cloud where and when it makes sense.
Let me turn to Doug real quick. Doug, on this case, is the hybrid cloud, in many regards as we look to define it, an extension of a private cloud?
Exactly. So hybrid cloud, by definition, includes the private, you know, only for your organization cloud that most entities and enterprises started with, particularly the government started with private cloud. Also a multi-tenant aspect, which would tend to be off-premises, somewhat, some call it public, some call it for a particular community. It doesn't matter. It's a broader community and it's shared. And then the third key aspect is connected. When you look at the entire definition, it's those three elements. And there's a journey aspect to it, because the important aspect of the hybrid cloud is that you don't have to throw away all of those investments and the level of effort that took to get to this stage of your journey. And you go into the next stage of the journey, which is extending your private cloud out into other cloud environments. And so that said, when you look at it from a CIO's perspective, and I'm putting on the old, you know, government CIO hat for a second, and I've said this for more than 3 years, which is if you look at the journey and the evolution, ultimately every CIO knows that there's a portion of their applications and data that can run outside of their data center, that it's more publicly oriented, it's more public facing, and it doesn't have stringent security requirements associated with it. And there's also a portion of their applications and data that have higher security requirements, higher performance requirements, more concerns around that, compliance and things like that, that they're really never going to let go outside of their data center. So then that leads you to the conclusion that the ultimate model is going to be some hybrid, some connection, some cloud that has boundaries around the existing on-prem private stuff and something that's going on outside of their data center. So when you reach that conclusion, then you say there is a stage on the journey to cloud, which is hybrid, that most, if not all, government entities are going to reach.
In many ways, why would someone not just go hybrid first? Because of that issue that you talk about, which is, I'm going to have some stuff I really do need to keep in-house, but there's plenty of stuff I can throw on the public cloud. That seems a more logical step versus having these two separate environments that maybe don't talk. Doug?
It seems more logical to just go outside, and it might be picking low-hanging fruit, but it's a short-sighted approach. Because if you look at that model of multi-clouds connected, what you want to do is manage it as if it's one cloud. What you want to avoid is if you jump into one external cloud and then jump into another and jump into another, that model is highly inefficient and in particular gets more difficult to manage as you scale that, because then you have duplication of the management tools, duplication of the network environment, duplicating, and you're just putting more stress on your ability to manage that.
Because you have a set of tools for private and a set of tools for public. That's what you're talking about when you said the duplication, or is there a duplication within even just having all public or all private?
Even worse than that, you have a duplication of tools for internal and a set of tools for each external, right? So every time you go into another external cloud, then you're adding to the complexity, the different tool sets, the stress on your own team to manage that, and so on and so forth.
Stu, from your perspective, as agencies are looking at their decisions, is there obvious benefits around hybrid clouds that maybe that's not so obvious?
I'm going to go back to your question for Doug. I think that you're assuming that the agency is looking at this in a holistic way. And I think that if you think that every decision maker is inside the room when these decisions about which cloud to move to or why to move to that cloud, I think we're probably fooling ourselves, right? So what we've found is that a lot of application development work is going to the cloud. That's at a departmental level or even lower than that, as a matter of fact. And really, if you go back to the programs inside those agencies, each program is making those decisions based on their specific programs and their specific requirements. So I think that really lends itself to a hybrid approach, because there are going to be some holistic decisions that are made, but there are also going to be programmatic decisions, and there are going to be folks that are down in the departments making these decisions. So I think just that in and of itself almost lends itself to defining or redefining the hybrid cloud approach.
In many regards, the decision-making piece is not at the CIO level. You mentioned at the program level. So is that why, you know, if you think back over the years of why the government struggled with procurement, is the same challenges that the government struggled with to do the big system, you know, waterfall attempt, starting to kind of play into the cloud arena as well, meaning the decision-making, the requirements definition, there's a lack of coordination.
We're seeing that a lot of the decisions that are being made and a lot of the activity out there in the space is being driven through a lot of the systems integrators. So the systems integrators are responsible for really delivering to their customers the promise of IT, right? And the promise of IT is that you're going to make things less expensive. You're going to make things better. You're going to make things, there's going to be a quicker turnaround. So I think if you blend that together with the way that procurement happens inside the government, I think a lot of that is pushed back to the integrators and the end user community.
All right, and the discussion around integrators and the procurement community is a great segue for our next set of conversations. But first, we're going to take a break. You're listening to The Intersection, where technology meets transformation, brought to you by VMware and Carpathia on Federal News Radio 1500 AM. In this episode, we're talking about making the case for hybrid clouds.
Discover how the software-defined enterprise is transforming the delivery and consumption of IT. With VMware at intersectiongov.com.
Welcome back. You're listening to The Intersection, where technology meets transformation, brought to you by VMware and Carpathia on Federal News Radio 1500 AM. In this episode, we're talking about making the case for hybrid clouds. I'm your host, Jason Miller, and I'm speaking with Doug Bourgeois, Vice President and Chief Cloud Officer for VMware, and Stu Flagel, the Vice President of Carpathia Government Solutions. Now, Stu, right before break, we talked a little bit about procurement. We had that conversation about, is the procurement model in some ways the problem or not? And one of the things that I've noticed of covering this area for the last 3, 4, 5 years, specifically around cloud, is how agencies are buying. GSA thought the agencies would buy off specific cloud contracts, but they're actually going through alliance of the big GWAC more and more and using the systems integrator model. What does that say to you in terms of why they're going in that direction? And does that lend itself, again, to the silos, to the interoperability issues that we've talked about?
In a word, it's ease of use, right? So if you go back to MOC that happened a few days ago, procurement comes up and the whole crowd moans. So I think that as long as I've been in this federal business for the last couple of decades, procurement standardization and procurement throughput has really been an area of conversation and a hot topic. I think that, of course, over the years it's gotten better, but I do still think that there's a tremendous reliance on going back through the vehicles that exist and the ones that are in place and actually easier for the agencies to go through. And when that happens, inevitably they go back to the systems integrators to actually be the front man for that.
Doug, when you talk to your customers, is that systems integrator path just easiest? I mean, as Stu says, it's easy of use, or is there something else going on that they feel like they need someone, potentially a cloud broker, to bring it all together?
What I see is that, generally speaking, the government procures what it believes it needs in the most expeditious way that it can, given the tools available to them. And so the process generally goes to define what they want and then figure out the contracting vehicle or method that gets them there in the most efficient way that they can figure it out. So that said, on the one hand, the traditional way of defining their technical requirements in great detail and doing a lot of the engineering work up front is the traditional way. And that does lend itself to the traditional systems integrator participation in that process being, you know, generally a heavy influencer, if not the major level of effort on the engineering side of the house for many of the government entities. That lent itself to actually procuring private clouds specifically. That actually was not a bad way to procure private clouds. But when you look at the hybrid cloud element, which has that externally focused multi-tenant perspective, cloud, you're essentially acquiring the service, not the infrastructure and all that sort of stuff, right? So that is a different methodology altogether. So I think what we're facing here is the challenge of the government as part of their journey architecturally. They're lagging with their evolution of their contracting methodology to go to a services-based approach. And that is part of what, I know it's not a topic for what we're addressing here today, but it's part of what the effort in the Congress right now is to move some transformation legislation forward around the IT procurement process to help kind of close this gap in some way.
And of course, Doug, you're talking about the FITARA legislation, which actually just got included in the House version of the Defense Authorization Bill. Again, a whole different conversation we could have about. One of the big issues along with this is multi-tenant approach is the security piece. And I think we need to talk a little bit about FedRAMP and where FedRAMP is heading. It just came out with new baseline standards, and there's a deadline coming up. Let me turn to Stu for a second. Now, I've heard both good and bad about FedRAMP. I've heard both it's an arduous process, expensive process for vendors, but at the same time, they get it. They understand why it's important. Give me a sense of how does hybrid clouds and FedRAMP kind of come together?
What FedRAMP is doing, what they're in the process of doing for a lot of the CSPs, and I use the CSP term. If you look at what Carpathia does, Carpathia is really a CSO. We're a cloud service operator, so we're operating multiple clouds. One of the clouds that we're taking through FedRAMP is the VCGS platform from VMware. And what we are finding is that customers are really looking to, again, leverage the investments that they've already made. So they're trying to use the same technology stack that they have already made the investment in, and they're trying to incorporate a multi-tenant community cloud using that same stack so that they can move VMs, as an example, move VMs back and forth between a dedicated infrastructure and a multi-tenant environment. Now, FedRAMP is doing a really good job. The unfortunate part right now is the JAB is a little bit light on resources, and they're working through that. There are a number of CSPs that are waiting to get their kickoff meetings. There are a number of CSPs that are actually already in process. So I think if you look at the calendar, time is not necessarily on the side of the CSPs right now, and we'd like to see that be expedited a little bit better. However, that said, again, the resource limitations that they have on them, the requirements that they have on them to review all the SSP documents are very significant. So at the end of the day, I think if you look at the finish line, I think the finish line has some very, very good things that are going to help the government. They're going to reduce the cost to the government, and they're going to normalize this environment.
Doug, let me turn to you real quick on the other issue around security. FedRAMP's goal is obviously standards, right? Let's make sure we all are at least starting at the same point. How does that apply to the hybrid cloud? Because on the private cloud, you can apply. On the public cloud, you can say, well, how are you applying these security standards? But when you have that mix, does that change anything around security?
If you talk about, you know, hybrid cloud having those three elements we discussed, private, some multi-use, and then the connection between them, it depends on the deployment model that the agency chooses. So in other words, if they choose to go to a service provider, such as the VMware Carpathia Alliance here in partnership, they can do that completely off-premises, still have that private component and the shared component within the partnerships environment here, which, again, you draw the boundary around the whole thing, you go through FedRAMP there. So, but if they're choosing to have the private cloud element be on-premises and the shared element be in a service provider's cloud, then they are essentially extending an existing FedRAMP, you know, assuming their internal private cloud gets their own authorization. And then it becomes more about the fact that the service provider has already done the FedRAMP process and then the connection between the two, right? There's this interconnect security agreement methodology, which defines how you go through the security reviews on the connection point.
You said earlier that sometimes data may pass in between the hybrid, the public cloud and the private cloud, or that's the piece you just talked about in terms of the security in between, right?
That is a component of the security model. I think the really important thing to focus on is what Stu mentioned earlier, which is leveraging the existing investments in the technology that the government agency in this case has already implemented and is familiar with. And so the key difference of the hybrid cloud over a private cloud or a public cloud is that it leverages those existing investments, which means the security model, the security policies, the templates that define what the configuration looks like that is FedRAMP compliant in this case, are not duplicated in the hybrid cloud. They are extended. They are essentially taken from the private cloud and pushed out and extended into the hybrid cloud and reused in that manner. And therefore, there's a lower security risk because you're not redefining all those security profiles and configurations. You're using the ones that you've already defined. You're just stretching them and extending them from the private to the hybrid cloud.
Stu, let me just turn to you real quick. Do you think agencies get that extension can happen and maybe it makes the most sense? Or is it they're still thinking, oh, now I have to do two FedRAMP approvals, for lack of a better term?
Yeah, again, I think that at the end of the day, Jason, that FedRAMP is good for government. So I'll start there. I will say, though, that when you think about designing your architecture, and it's much like designing a house, right? You design the house, you construct the house. You may not put all the rooms into the house at the beginning because you can't afford to do that, or you're not able to do that at the time. So when we're looking at designing and implementing an environment that's going to get FedRAMP PATO, well, you have to put everything in there that you know is going to be coming down the road. So from that perspective, we're building it and we're delivering it based on requirements that aren't necessarily in the forefront yet.
And I think those requirements, unfortunately for many of you going through the JAB process, are changing new baseline standards. And again, I think Doug and Stu, that could be a whole different show to talk about. Unfortunately, we're almost out of time. Before I let you go, what's the takeaway on hybrid clouds? Let me start with Doug. What are one or two things that if you're an agency who says, you know, maybe the hybrid is right for me, or how do I determine if the hybrid cloud is right for me? What are the things they should keep in mind?
Well, the first thing is that the hybrid cloud model, and there's actually studies that have been conducted, independent studies on this, is the most efficient model because it takes advantage of the optimization of the fact that the internal environment can be optimized in one way, and then the external multi-tenant component is going to be optimized slightly different way, and it gets the best of both and marries them together, right? So that's the first thing. It's the most efficient. The second is, for the reason I described previously with respect to security, it doesn't create a new security model. It leverages the existing security model and policies already in place. It's lower risk in that manner as well. And then finally, the interconnectivity point, you know, the fact that the hybrid cloud is the public and multi-tenant, I mean, the private and multi-tenant connected, means that certain things that are capabilities to manage the environment and to leverage automation for like service provisioning and the self-service portal part of cloud and all that, they extend to both environments. So those don't have to be duplicated either. So it's more efficient and it is more responsive and just as secure as the private cloud.
All right, and Stu, you get the last word.
Okay, so it's an interesting environment that we're in where the infrastructure and the security and the application have to really be taken into consideration when you're building this environment. And so, you know, folks out there are not waking up in the morning saying, hey, I've got to stand up an infrastructure. What they're doing is they're waking up in the morning saying, how do I deliver better services to the citizens? And what approach am I going to take as an organization, as an agency, or as a systems integrator supporting those agencies? What's my decision point in terms of when to move to a cloud, when to have a private cloud, when to have a community cloud? So again, just to echo what Doug was saying, really the hybrid approach to cloud is really, I think, not only the best approach, but it's also what's really happening out there. People are using the cloud for data center services, for dev test, for email. And so there's a mismatch of different applications. Hybrid is just the perfect environment for that.
Very good way to end. And unfortunately, that's all the time we have for today. You've been listening to The Intersection, where technology meets transformation, brought to you by VMware and Carpathia on Federal News Radio 1500 AM. I'm your host, Jason Miller. My guests today were Doug Bourgeois, Vice President and Chief Cloud Officer for VMware U.S. Public Sector. And we are also joined today by Stu Flagel, the Vice President of Carpathia Government Solutions. If you missed any of today's program, you can find the entire discussion on federalnewsradio.com/VMware. And please also visit intersectiongov.com for insights on connecting technology to transformation. Gentlemen, thank you very much for taking the time to join us.
Thanks, Jason. Thank you.
To hear this show in its entirety and learn more about how virtualization can help your agency, go to federalnewsradio.com/VMware.